Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 12 through 38. In the second half of Jeremiah chapter 25, we have a pronouncement of judgment on Babylon and the other nations. This prophesied judgment includes both an historical fulfillment as well as an eschatological fulfillment yet to come in the future. Let's begin by reading verses 12 through 29. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord. And I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I will bring on that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall be served by them also. And I will repay them according to their deeds, and according to the works of their own hands. For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of wrath from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, all the mixed multitude, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coastlands which are across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who are in the farthest corners, all the kings of Arabia and all the kings of the mixed multitude who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth, also the king of Sheshach, shall drink after them. Therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For behold, I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name, and should you be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. Let's begin our study of this portion of Jeremiah chapter 25 with some background notes. In Jeremiah chapter 24, we had the object lesson of the good figs and the bad figs. The good ripe figs represented the Jewish captives who were taken to Babylon. There these captives were purged from their idolatry. There these captives preserved and copied the Hebrew Scriptures. Meanwhile, those who remained in the land of Judah, represented by the bad, rotten figs, continued on in their idolatry and died in Egypt, where they tried to escape. In the first half of Jeremiah chapter 25, we saw that the Lord revealed to Jeremiah that the Babylonian captivity would be 70 years in duration. Look back again at verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11. Now, there are two ways to calculate the 70 years. We can start with 605 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar made his first attack on Jerusalem and carried away the first captives, including Daniel. 70 years later, in 536 BC, the returned captives from Babylon began the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That's one way to calculate the 70 years. The other way is to start with 586 BC, the third attack on Jerusalem, when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed and the rest of the captives were taken to Babylon. 70 years later, in 516 BC, the reconstructed temple was completed. So there you have two ways to calculate the 70-year Babylonian captivity. And now here in the second half of Jeremiah chapter 25, we are told what will take place after the 70 years in reference to Babylon and the other nations. And that brings us then to our doctrine or teaching points for this portion of Jeremiah chapter 25. So doctrinal point number one, the nations of Jeremiah's day experienced the cup of God's wrath. The nations of Jeremiah's day experienced the cup of God's wrath. Even though God used the Babylonians to discipline his people, this did not justify the Babylonians in their conquest of Judah and the other sovereign nations. Therefore, we read in verse 12 that after Israel's 70-year captivity, God would punish Babylon by bringing other nations against her according to the prophecies of Jeremiah, verses 12 through 14. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord. And I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I will bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. This came true, of course, with the conquest of Babylon by the Medes and the Persians and the nations allied at that time with Cyrus the Great. And there is an end time aspect to this prophecy, as we'll see in our next doctrinal point. Now in verses 15 through 26, we see that it was not only Babylon that God was going to judge, but many nations of Jeremiah's day because of their evil ways. The Lord showed Jeremiah a symbolic cup of wrath, which Jeremiah was to take from the Lord's hand and symbolically give to the nations to drink. These many nations and cities are listed in verses 18 through 26, beginning with Judah and ending with Sheshach in verse 26, which was probably a code name for Babylon. Drinking the cup of God's wrath would cause these nations to stagger and fall like a drunken man, verse 16 and verse 27. And no nation would be allowed to refuse to drink from the cup of God's wrath, verse 28. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. The nations of Jeremiah's day experienced the cup of God's wrath. Doctrinal point number two. The nations of the last days will experience the sword of God's anger. The nations of the last days will experience the sword of God's anger. Verses 30 through 38. Therefore prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise will come to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And at that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. Wail, shepherds, and cry. Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a wailing of the leaders to the flock will be heard, for the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his lair like the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. We see in verse 29 that a transition is being made from Jeremiah's day to the last days of the end time. God's judgment against the nations for their sin was only beginning in Jeremiah's day. Now in verses 30 through 38, the verses that we just read, we see that Jeremiah's prophecy of judgment moves on to the end time, when God will fully judge all the nations of the earth. Notice the typical eschatological phrase, in that day, in verse 33. And notice the universal scope of this prophecy, against all the inhabitants of the earth, verses 29 and 30. To the ends of the earth, verse 31. The judgment of all flesh, verse 31. From the remotest parts of the earth, verse 32. And from one end of the earth to the other, verse 33. Now these verses are in Hebrew poetry, as shown in most of your translations. And we see that God is pictured as a lion coming out of his den on high to attack the ungodly nations of the earth, verse 30 and verse 38. God treading the nations in his winepress of wrath is another metaphor used, as we see in verse 30. The sword of God's anger will fall on the wicked, and so many people will die that the many bodies will lie unburied on the face of the ground. Verse 33. And at that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. This sounds a lot like what we read in the book of Revelation, doesn't it? Well, no wonder. This is describing the judgments of the future tribulation period, which is covered in the book of Revelation. In that day, the shepherds or leaders of the nations will not be able to escape, but will die along with their sheep, verses 34 through 37. Wail, shepherds, and cry, roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a wailing of the leaders to the flock will be heard, for the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Notice that the phrase, fierce anger of the Lord, is used twice in verses 37 and 38. For the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his lair like the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. The nations of the last days will experience the sword of God's anger. Now, what about practical application for this portion of Jeremiah chapter 25? Keep your eye on Babylon. Keep your eye on Babylon. In verse 12, God said that Babylon would be destroyed and desolate forever. Now, how do we explain the fact that Babylon was never destroyed completely? The Persians just took over Babylon. In fact, Babylon still exists today and is being rebuilt. So how do you explain that verse 12 says that Babylon would be destroyed and desolate forever? Answer, the prophecies concerning Babylon are not yet completely fulfilled. There is an eschatological aspect to these prophecies awaiting the end times. In the book of Revelation, we read of end time Babylon and its final destruction. Read Revelation chapters 17 and 18 in this connection. Babylon, in the book of Revelation, is probably not a code name for Rome, but actually the literal city of Babylon, which will emerge more and more in the coming days as the center for the one world government and one world religion of the last days. So keep your eye on Babylon.